Hey, little thinkers, let's rewind.
Time to travel back.
Hello, bright explorers. Today, paper will whisper, light will leave footprints, and a quiet kitchen will glow with tiny crackles. We will meet Chester Carlson, a patient dreamer. He turned dust and a flash of light into something powerful.
Welcome, dear friends. This story holds tired hands, long nights, and brave hope. It shows a person who kept going when doors closed. It will feel exciting, curious, and warm. No worries. The surprises are gentle and full of wonder.
There's a moment when words appear on plain paper as if from nowhere. A soft puff of powder. A sudden shape. A smile that changes history. Who can tell this better than we can? Someone who loves true sparks.
This tale is wonderful for kids, teens, and curious grown-ups. It shows how ideas grow from small rooms. It shows how a simple wish can help the whole world. Come with us. The journey is bright, and it feels safe and kind.
The kitchen light is on. A notebook waits. A courage spark is ready. Please welcome our storyteller who will open this true adventure with care and heart.
Storyteller, take us there. Show us light, dust, and the first quiet copy. We are listening.
San Bernardino, California. A cool morning in the 19-teens. Dust drifted across a small yard. A boy named Chester moved slowly so he would not wake his sick father. He warmed oatmeal on the stove. He checked the clock and packed his school books. His shoes were worn. His hands were steady. At school, he liked clean lines and bold letters. He loved the smell of ink and paper. At home, he helped with chores. His family had very little money. Illness stayed in the house like a shadow. Chester did not complain. He drew letters. He fixed things. He dreamed about easy ways to make many pages. He did not know it yet, but that wish would guide his life like a quiet star. Years passed. Chester studied hard. He earned a physics degree from a famous school in California during the hard years of the Great Depression. Jobs were rare. He found work, first in research, then in a patent department in New York. All day, he handled drawings and long documents. He needed many copies. But good copies were slow, messy, and expensive. People used carbon paper and wet chemicals. Ink smeared. Fingers turned blue. Chester's fingers ached from writing the same things again and again. He thought, there must be a better way. Not wet. Not sticky. Dry. Fast. Clear. He began to read about static electricity. He wondered if light could guide powder onto paper. He kept his idea close, like a secret held in a pocket. Astoria, Queens, New York, late 1930s. A small rented room near a kitchen. Shelves held bottles, plates, wires, and brushes. The air smelled like warm metal and a tiny bit of eggs from chemicals. Chester worked at night. He saved pennies for supplies. He wrote notes in a neat hand. He called his idea electrophotography. The plan was simple to say, but hard to do. Rub a plate so it holds an electric charge. Shine light through a word or a picture. The light changes the charge where it hits. Dust the plate with fine dark powder. The powder clings only where the charge tells it to stay. Lift the image onto paper. Heat the powder so it melts and sticks. A dry copy on plain paper. That was the dream. Chester needed help with the first careful trials. A young physicist named Otto Corney joined him. One October morning in 1938, they stood beside the small bench. Chester wrote some words in wax pencil on a glass slide. They charged a coated metal plate. They let light fall through the letters. The room was quiet. Powder floated like dark snow. He brushed gently. A ghostly shape appeared. They pressed paper to the plate. Heat touched the back. When the paper peeled away, words showed in crisp black. The note read, 10:22, 1938, Astoria. Chester stared. He whispered the date again. The first dry copy lay warm in his hands. It looked simple. It had taken years to reach that moment. Chester filed patents and kept building better plates. He worked days at his job. He tested at night. He carried parts in brown paper bags. He wrote polite letters to big companies. He asked for a meeting. He explained the idea. Dry copying, plain paper, no darkroom, no wet trays. Many times people smiled and shook their heads. It sounded odd. It sounded risky. A few tests failed in front of them. That was painful. More than 20 companies said no. He walked home in the cold, tired, and quiet. Still, he held the first copy in his mind. He knew it was real. He knew the method could grow stronger with the right help. In 1944, a research group in Ohio listened closely. It was the Battelle Memorial Institute. Scientists there tested the process with new materials. They liked selenium, a special photoconductor that changed when light touched it. Their labs were careful and clean. Chester finally had partners with tools and time. They improved the plates. They measured voltages. They wrote reports. They made clearer images. The process still had a long name, electrophotography. It needed a shorter word. A company in Rochester, New York, called Holoid, took a license. Their business was photographic paper. Holoid needed a bold idea. Together with Battelle, they chose a name from Greek roots. Xeros means dry. Graphia means writing. Xerography, dry writing. Simple to say. Surprising to see. Early machines looked like boxes built by careful tinkerers. Powder spilled sometimes. Pages smudged, lamps overheated. Engineers adjusted rollers by tiny amounts. They tried different toner powders. They watched how heat could fuse the image. Inch by inch, copy by copy, the pages grew sharper. Office workers who saw a good copy on plain paper gasped. No special coated sheets, just regular paper. 8.5 by 11 inches, a button, a light, a page. Halo had trained sales teams to rent the machines and fix them quickly. They believed in the idea. So did Chester. He visited and nodded as engineers ran more tests. He knew patience was winning. In 1959, Holoid introduced a famous model. It was called the Xerox 914. The number pointed to the paper size it could copy. People gathered for demonstrations. A hand pressed a button. A strong light swept under the glass. The box hummed. Warm air blew softly. A clean copy landed with a gentle thump. People clapped and leaned in. Some early machines got very hot. Technicians kept a small fire extinguisher nearby just in case. Still, the demand grew fast. Renting the machine made it affordable for offices. Pages piled up like snowdrifts. The small company changed its name. Holoid became Xerox Corporation. Xerography had stepped into daily life. Offices changed. Secretaries no longer typed the same page many times. Teachers ran off worksheets for classes. Scientists shared drafts of papers across cities. Judges, artists, and students all pressed the same button. Copying became a simple act. Work moved faster. Ideas traveled farther. Chester watched with quiet joy. He wore simple suits. He spoke softly. He remembered long nights in the small room. He remembered all the numbers. Now there were yeses in every hallway. The machines hummed, sang in buildings around the world. He knew the sound by heart. He smiled when a clean page slid into a tray. Factories in places like Rochester built more units. Metal frames rolled past careful hands. Panels clicked into place. Technicians tested each copier with sample pages. If one line looked fuzzy, a worker adjusted mirrors and rollers. Chester toured a plant. He touched a warm test copy and nodded. He knew a big truth. A great idea needs many patient helpers. Engineers, operators, repair crews, secretaries who noticed problems and called them in. The success belonged to a wide team. Still, the spark had started years earlier in a kitchen room with jars, wires, and courage. As copier orders grew, Chester's royalties grew too. He became very wealthy. Reporters asked about big houses and fancy cars. Chester shook his head. He liked simple meals and quiet rooms. He and his wife supported science, education, and civil rights groups. Many gifts were quiet and kind. He believed ideas should help people. He did not forget the hard years. He did not forget his father's illnesses. He wanted his money to ease other people's struggles. That choice made him smile more than any headline. A young student in a library pressed a button. A page appeared. Notes were easier to share. A scientist mailed copies of data to a partner far away. A judge kept clean records without smudges. An artist played with layers of copied shapes and textures. Copying opened doors for many fields. Chester understood that copying did not just save time. It spread knowledge. It gave more people access to ideas. A button could carry thoughts across a city in minutes. That felt like magic, guided by careful science. The heart of xerography stayed the same. A charged surface, light for the image, powder called toner, heat to fuse it. The details evolved. Better drums, safer toners, smarter controls. But in every office machine, a small echo of that first room remained. A soft hum, a sweep of light, a warm page. The method did not need a darkroom or chemicals in trays. It used dry steps in steady order. That is why the name felt right. Dry writing. Xerography. On some rainy evenings, Chester still went back to small rooms with tools. He liked the quiet rhythm of careful work. He knew that discovery is a habit, not a single day. He had learned to accept failure and keep going. He had learned to listen to a problem until it gave a clue. He had learned that big changes can start in very small places, like a kitchen table or a rented room. The first dry copy with the date, and the place was kept safe. Visitors leaned over a glass case to read the faint words. 1022, 1938. Astoria. The paper looked ordinary. The idea inside it was not. The little page marked the start of a new way to share information. It was a quiet treasure of modern work life. By the 1960s, the word Xerox became common in offices. People even used it as a verb, though it was a brand. The company grew large. New models appeared. Some were smaller, some were faster. Chester stayed a thoughtful figure in the background. He did not seek bright lights. He liked to see the machines doing quiet work for others. That was his reward. Chester Carlson passed away in 1968. He was 62 years old. Many people wrote about his patience and his kindness. They called him the father of xerography. They remembered his long road through doubt and refusal. They remembered the steady courage that held the idea together until others could help it grow. His legacy was not only a machine, it was a way of thinking. Simple steps, clear goals. Keep going. Today, people scan with phones. Printers and copiers sit side by side. Laser printers use cousins of Chester's method. They charge a drum. They draw with light. They move toner. They fuse with heat. The page that slides out still carries the old rhythm. Light. Powder. Heat. A dry page. A clear idea. The world shares more because one person kept a promise to himself in a small room. Chester's kitchen years mattered. He used what he had. A stove for heat, plates for charges, jars for powders, a table for notes. He mixed the careful mind of a scientist with the stubborn hope of a builder. He did not need a giant lab to begin. He needed patience, a steady hand, and a place to think. Those were his strongest tools. In the end, Chester Carlson was known for more than a machine. He was known for generosity. He gave much of his wealth to causes that helped people learn and live with dignity. That choice fit his invention. Copying spreads knowledge. Sharing money spreads chances. His life showed how a single idea held safely through hard years can change daily life across the world. Light, dust, and hope became pages. Pages became power.